I have been doing episodes with other pastors the past couple weeks, and I sat with a pastor. I will name the pastor. It's Daniel Hendrickson from Calvary Chapel, and he was asking me a little bit about the podcast, and he stopped me and he said, you know, I've actually listened to one. I listened to the one, your 100th episode, where you found out that nobody was supportive of the podcast. And he said, I just want you to know I'm supportive of the podcast.
Because he listened to one episode.
Not only did he listen,
I think you're rewriting history, bro.
Not only did he listen to one episode, he probably listened to the worst version of myself on here, just guns blazing with an agenda. And I feel so opposite of that right now. Zen, oh, okay. Chill.
Christmas spirit.
Christmas spirit.
Cheery.
New Year's, new me.
Your chill is at a 10 right now?
Could not be higher. Could not be higher. I feel just excited to be here. Like I said, I've been recording so many out of the office in different pastors' offices to just sit here around the table with my friends. It just feels really nice. It feels like coming home. It feels like a Hallmark movie. And so I'm happy. I'm with the 6 Coastline staff.
Man, I hope this is better than that. I hope it's better than a Hallmark movie.
I think that there's a probably really funny game we could play where we try to like write the Coastline Hallmark Christmas movie. Like... I mean, we could, if we had time and a little bit more creative juices flowing, we could probably come up with something pretty funny that we probably could sell to Hallmark.
So 6 friends work at a big church and then the unexpected happens.
Christmas gets canceled. Yeah. And then they have to come together and recreate a Christmas service in a barn somewhere. And it turns out that we all collectively dated the same people in high school and they still live in the hometown and they just run. They're all glass blowers now. And, all of them. And they're the town glass blowers. And we all fall in love with them. But right before the Christmas service starts.
The guild of glass blowers.
Yeah, the guild. Yeah, it's a union. It's a pro glass blowing union Hallmark film. And I can't wait to see it.
A Teamsters Christmas.
Oh, that's really funny. We're here on the table. It is the end of the year. I am so excited. I cannot believe we are here at the end of 2023. Well, we call this Coastline's third year. I've been really going back and forth on what year of Coastline this is. Yeah. We're calling it year 3.
Yeah.
So 2020 is like our we started in 2020 and this is our third year. Sean, you look like you're pondering.
Don't ask me about dates. I'm so bad with dates. Like I'm going to get this wrong.
It's like when there's a baby, they might not be a year old yet, but it's their first year of life. It's our third year of life.
But in Korea, you're born at 1. You don't have a 0. So, I mean, that means who knows what we are now.
Never thought about that, huh, Michelle?
Yeah. Okay.
What do you guys know about? What do you guys know about that? So this is Coastline's third year, but this is our second time we've done like the end of year wrap up. And it's just a fun opportunity for us to just hang out around the table, chat, laugh, go back and think about how God has moved in our church this year, how God has moved in our personal lives this year, and what we're looking forward to next year. And like I said, I'm on a game kick. So at some point we'll transition to some 2023 trivia, which I am so excited to see how you do. And before we get started on some of the questions, everybody has said something except for Garrick. Garrick, are you good?
I'm good. You just feel pretty combative there, so I'm just staying quiet.
Nope.
I mean, poor Rochelle tried to give you an answer, and then you came back to her like, well, if we were a Korean church, there'd be a different answer. So I just made note to self, I'm just going to be quiet until I actually have to speak.
Let me give you a little rule of thumb. If I'm talking about Korea, I ain't being combative. I'm chilling.
Because they made K-pop.
They made the movie Parasite. My friend Mojo's from Korea. All these things mean that I'm feeling very chill. Garrick, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you describe your 2023? 1 being one of the worst years of your life, 10 being, man, this was one of my best years.
Oh, man. I don't know. I'd give it somewhere between a 7 and an 8.
Wow, that's high.
Yeah, it's high. It was a good year.
Yeah?
Good year, yeah. I think we had a good year for Coastline, which was really fun and brings a lot of joy to my life. And yet I had some things that were difficult too.
Yeah, you know? there's a good balance there, it sounds like. I'm wondering, when you think of the best parts of Coastline in this past year, what immediately comes to mind?
Oh, man. All the times we gathered and ate food.
Like the 6 of us or the whole church?
The whole church. The whole church. I just love that we get to gather on the patio monthly. Mm. And then all the events that we did where we gathered around tables and had food. It's something I think us living into that family value is so joyful. Mm. And I think the fact that we do it pretty consistently, I think really... I don't know, for me brings it home of like, wow, this is really significant and special because in part you can do that because of our size, which I think is just a real gift and blessing.
Yeah. Nikki, I want to ask you in response to that, you're usually like administratively getting the food all set. When you think about all of the food things we've done at Coastline, whether it is tacos or baby dedications or the membership meetings, do you think of a 7 and 8 in terms of how good your year was?
I mean, sure. I don't mind getting that stuff ready. So, and it is, they always end up being really fun. So it's always worth it.
When you go get tacos on a Sunday, what's your order? Like on the first Sunday of the month?
Oh, I always get one of each.
One of each. Yeah.
I get the same thing every time.
That's the way to roll.
Yeah.
And now, Michael, I want to ask you, you are usually late to the taco party.
Yeah.
How often have you missed tacos? If we've done, tacos 12 times this year, how many times have you missed it?
Too many then.
Ugh.
Too many.
Too many.
I mean, one is too many.
Yo, yeah.
But yeah, I've only, I think, actually missed it and had no food like once.
And that's too many, as you just said.
That's too many.
So if you're listening to this and you're there next time we do tacos, get a plate for Michael. and here's why I'm saying that, Michael, is now more like it's not going to be just one person.
Oh, no.
Like we get tens of listeners.
Well, truth be told, I have been known to eat about 6 or 7 or maybe 8 of those tacos.
Oh, so they're so good.
Just saying. If you get me some, I'll probably eat them.
Sean, on which weeks when you preach, is it you're hungrier and you want to eat more tacos? Or are you just like, I'm done. I don't want to sit.
I always do the same amount. It's always 3. I don't think I ever go back for a second plate. Preaching, non-preaching, 3 tacos.
Just 3?
Yeah.
Same flavor, different flavors.
One of each. Nikki's got the right formula. You know, the avocado salsa.
Oh, yeah. I'm so into the chips. And that knowing where that chip bucket is worth every penny.
You go yourself to the chip bucket?
Well, but people, like, you'll see them, where are the chips? And I come and I dump the chips out. And not only are you a hero, you're like, I'm going to get some more chips.
I will also go to the chip bucket.
Yeah, the chip bucket.
I didn't know that was allowed.
And I'm not going to go on air and say.
I thought it was a chip bowl.
No, there is a bucket of chips.
There's a bucket under the table.
Why would you say where it is? I was just about to say, don't tell anybody.
Wow.
No, everybody's going to
get
their own.
There's a bucket.
Own chip.
Do you know how chill I was before you just said that? I am irate. I'm going to hide that chip bucket now. You're not even going to know where it is.
Too many how many times I've gone through that line and the chips have been empty because I'm usually one of the last.
Because Nikki and I are in the FLC with the chip bucket.
Yeah, if we steal the bucket, yeah. We go
you
run
are
away.
Always the last guy eating. Always.
Yeah. Why is that?
Every table is put away. Every chair is stacked.
Yes.
Derek's just plowing a taco.
Because he's mingling. He's talking to the people.
I think this would be a good opportunity in the name of the podcast of like vulnerability and talking about process. We should talk about as a staff when we know it's time to leave on a Sunday when we do tacos. And I think we could all come up with the answer. When Garrett gets his tacos, it's time for us to leave.
That's what it feels like. It feels like I get my plate, I take a bite, and then Sean's like, okay, we're wrapping it up.
It's true.
Yeah. Sean is like a taskmaster when it comes to getting those tables done on a Sunday.
You have to activate people into servant leadership because if you don't, we are stacking every one of those chairs. And that's my nightmare, is staying there and stacking 100 chairs.
When you did youth ministry, how many chairs were you stacking or were you figuring out ways to get?
I built a team, man. I never did that. That's tough work. It gets old.
You work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
And that's why you're our pastor. Rochelle, I want to know, do you ever use the proximity to the patio during a Sunday? Because we've talked about this. You're famously never in church because of your job. You can be at tacos first sometimes. Do you ever take advantage of that?
First.
No.
No, because I have to wait till all the parents come up and get their kids.
Really? You can't be like, hey, just watch this kid for a second.
I mean, I could. There's usually things that I need to probably take care of before. I got to make sure everybody at closed down classrooms and stuff. So.
And that's why you're the children's pastor, because if I were the children's pastor, like, can somebody watch these kids for like 10 minutes? And I'd come back with a bucket full of chips and 6 tacos down, man.
I do have occasionally, I'll try to like sneak out so I can go down and just like chit chat with people, pretend like I was sitting in church.
It's not tacos, it's talking. There you go. Put that on a t-shirt. I think for me, as I reflect on this year, the way that I would describe Coastline is I think we hit our stride this year. I think in so many ways, we really established some things that I think will last us for a long time. I think that's something you see so clearly with the membership. I think for me, on my end, the youth, we really locked it in this year, and that was bringing on Michelle was a huge piece of that. But I'm wondering for you guys, if you could sum up Coastline's year, maybe in a word or a phrase or an idea or even an event that feels very typical of what our church is, what would you guys say that is? What is the thing that you would define as Coastline this year? All right, guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week and every single week after that.
I was trying to rack my brain on all the different things that we've done. I think when we did the Eras Worship Night, that to me felt like such a good moment of being nostalgic and having something for everyone in that moment. I think that was just felt like a really fun night. I was so sick during that entire evening, but still in the middle of that, it just felt like the Spirit was moving. It was really cool to get to. I felt like there was so much planning that went into that night, and yet I came out kind of feeling just like, oh wow, like this is such a cool example of what God has done through generations. And that there was people in that room who have maybe been walking with the Lord for 50 years and their experience was different than my experience, yeah. Like going through songs that are just really popular.
Yeah, and when you think of the mission of Coastline, or one of the big pieces, it's Foley family. And for people to come to a worship night and feel fully seen in that, of like, oh, they played this song I like and this song I like, and the person next to you gets the song they like, that's really cool. That feels very representative. I was going to ask you, like, connect it to Coastline, but you basically did, of saying, like, everybody got to worship together. And I think that's a really beautiful thing. Yeah. Michael, for you, what would you say from a worship perspective, you know, maybe not as a congregant perspective or somebody who goes to Coastline, but from your angle on stage, what would you say the state of worship at Coastline was like this year? One of our core values is, you know, holy worshiping. And so I wouldn't say we didn't live into that this year. We worship all the time, but how do you think we lived into that? What was the state of worship of Coastline this year?
I think that we will forever be growing as worshipers. Like, there's never going to be a day when we're like, oh, we've got it. I hope, like, that's my hope, is that 10 years from now, Coastline's going to be like, dude, we're still figuring out how to worship God.
This sounds like we didn't do very good this year.
We got a C.
We're always going to do better.
But what I feel like this year is, I feel like our people have been, we're past those early stages where it's just, you're trying to figure out who you are and you're uncomfortable. And our people are stepping in week after week. The big highlight for me that's still on my mind right now is, like, 3 weeks ago, I remember we did a Christmas service. It was like the second week of Christmas or something. And it just felt like the room just went off. And it was kind of like this moment where I'm like, dude, Christmas for me as the worship pastor always feels like kind of like we take a little detour for a month, and it's hard to find deep heartfelt worship in the midst of Christmas. And yet that week it was like our people just said, no, like this is, we're going to worship. We're going to be here. We're going to be present. And the Spirit was moving. And I think that that's just the signifier of a healthy worshiping church. Mm. When even in a moment that feels off, a week that feels different, we can find the Lord there and invite him in. Obviously we're growing in good ways. So I'm very excited for who we are coming as worshipers.
Was there one song you think you'll look back on in a couple years and say that was the best worship song that we played in 2023? Didn't have to come out in 2023, but like a song that felt very representative of Coastline.
Oh man, that's tough. I mean, we sing so many every week. I don't have one. I don't have one that's coming to mind immediately.
We'll come back to you.
Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
No, I don't. Garrick, do you have I know you love worship music. Do you have any thoughts on that? And I know that that week that Michael's referring to a couple weeks ago where mm-hmm. the room exploded, that was a similar reflection that you had. Mm-hmm. So maybe beyond just the song, you love worship. Would you agree with Michael's assessment of how we are as a worshiping community? And then as a pastor, you know, you have a really different vantage point because you're not on stage during worship, but you're on stage during preaching. And I guess I'm wondering, for Coastline, do you feel like there's a lot of overlap between how we respond in worship and how we respond to preaching?
That's an interesting question. I think the one feeds off the other. So they are interrelated and they're connected for sure. And I do think, referring back to the couple weeks ago, the worship service that Michael was referencing, it just felt like there's a collective work that I think God is doing in the room. But I think it's also when people come in and recognize that they're participating, and they're not only doing their experience, but they, as they participate in the Lord in worship, or even in being there for the sermon, they're creating and kind of an overall collective experience for everybody, not just themselves. For somehow we stepped into that, right? Like, and the interesting thing about leading a church is, I mean, there are principles that I think you follow, biblical guidelines, but one week is never the same week. And sometimes you do the exact same thing you did the week before, and it feels like the results are very, very different. And I think that's in part because body life is dynamic, and everybody coming into the room, you come in with a different expectation. And part of it's how the Spirit's leading. The other part is, where are we at as a people? I mean, sometimes we come in the room and we're just glad we're there and we don't have much to give. And that, to me, that felt like a week, like Michael said, I felt like people came in, they had a week of Advent under their belt, and they were like, we're ready to do this. And I think something really special happens when the community's gathered that way, with kind of a collective expectation that we're going to do something together and that we know God is here. And I think that that's really powerful. The one thing I'd say to that question, I don't know the name of the title, but the worship song that we started singing a few months ago, is it Bless, Bless God?
Oh, yeah.
What's the title of it? Bless God in the Sanctuary.
I think it is called Bless God. Yeah.
Bless God, yeah. I think there's something about that song of saying God in his character and in his goodness is so worthy of being blessed regardless of our circumstances that something about the lyrics of that song, I think, put our hearts in the right posture to not only worship, but then to receive in the teaching. So for me, that's been a really powerful worship song that we've done several times.
That's a great answer. Michael, would you agree? Bless God. You want to take that one as well?
I was thinking bless God. That was on my, so after I had some time to think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking bless God. That was on my, that was probably number two or three. But I actually think, I actually don't know the name of it off the top of my head, but the song, oh God, my God, I need you. The first time we played that song, there were like 10 people crying.
Mm. Wow.
And I think there was a moment there where I was like, it was when Jasmine Maeda was here. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, I don't know if this is going to work with our people. And then afterwards I was reflecting, man, I think our people were just kind of going through a moment where things were really heavy and hard. And this was a moment where our people were given opportunity to be in the hard with God. Mm. And so that one, I think since we did it, I felt, man, that's a good one for us. So
that's great. Look at that. The little conversation you guys just had really.
Same God. That's what it's called.
Same God. Same God and bless God. And then come in 2024 is God. Just, that's it. That's all you need. Nikki, these guys have pretty specific roles. There's a lot of things that fall under it, but you, I think, you'd win the award for most diverse job responsibilities. And so I'm wondering, what was your job like in 2023? Like, what were some of the most exciting things that you did professionally? And then we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but looking at 2024, what's one thing that you did in 2023 for your job that you don't want to do in 2024? And consider this official Coastline business. So they will listen.
I can answer that one right off the bat. I don't want to do the church membership again. Yeah. So much work.
I am happy that you said
that. It was a huge blessing, but it was on work. I guess probably because it's so fresh, I think the Christmas market ended up being just like, also because I think we were all really nervous about it. It felt like a very risky thing to do, and it felt like it could have flopped so easily. And instead, I someone talking to me just like for 5 minutes on Sunday, she cornered me and just could not stop talking about what a special night it was, right? It wasn't just shopping. It was something more. So I think that was probably the highlight, but there's so many things I could say. So
that was such a fun event. And I think I don't know if we reflected on the podcast, but I went with Megan and we ran into Britt Ferris on our way in. There was no parking in the parking lot. And you know, like, oh, I bet a lot of people are here. And Britt Ferris and Megan and I were all like, well, we'll go, we'll show Nikki we were here, we'll support her. And then we had to go to Colin's game. And I don't think you would have known if we didn't show up, because there was so many people there. And what was just the coolest thing about it was just how loud and how vibrant the room was. But I do want to highlight one thing specifically, and that is that there were so many tasers at this event. And I think it's now time for you to either apologize for that because they were scary, they were loud and scary, or maybe
they
you can tell people.
They were a high-selling item.
Yeah.
So.
Were there multiple tables with tasers?
Okay, no, so just one.
It was this one lady, she was selling like personal
self-defense products.
Yeah. So
more females specifically.
Yeah, think like brass knuckles on your keychain.
So pink pink brass knuckles.
Yeah. And
there,
she also had
brass knuckles. There were
they
not
weren't
brass knuckles.
But it was like stuff that you could harm someone with if you were
being attacked.
Cornered in a dark alley.
Some of the tasers didn't.
But she had a taser and they go zzz.
So nuts.
I was right in front of her. And so my back was turned to her. So every probably 2 minutes, she would be showing somebody how it works. And she would go zzz, and it scared me.
You could hear it across the room. I mean, it was pretty
so
loud.
Remember back time. When you could buy like a goat for a village in the Sudan and give that to them like as a way of like
we
a Christmas gift.
We did not have a table selling
and
goats.
And at Coastline,
no,
it's tasers and pink brass knuckles.
I'm dying at somebody getting an envelope in the mail this year. And it's like a taser has been donated on your behalf to a community that could have used a goat. Sean, you you were preaching a lot this year, and I'm looking right now at the app of all the teaching series that we did. We had Esther, we had our Lent series, Repent and Renew, Yesterday, Today, and Forever, Blueprints, Encounters, Galatians, and then now our Christmas sermon series. Which one do you feel like challenged people the most, and which one challenged you the most as a preacher in 2023?
That's a good question. So it'd be Galatians or Esther. Gosh, I'm always going to go to some of those just because when you get to be in a book and exegete the book, that's always going to be my favorite. Esther was sweet because I thought... I was drawn to it for my own reasons, what it was kind of doing in my life. I had no idea that it would kind of resonate for the women in the church who had done Bible studies over the years and were invested, and it was personal for them in a totally different way, man. That was really fun. And Galatians was an incredibly challenging book to preach and to study it and find a way through it and to be able to preach grace was just a real highlight. I mean, I talked to a couple new couple who just joined Coastline, and they were talking about that Galatians was what kind of drew them in because we were a church that talked about grace so much. And that was just really encouraging because it could have been that book. A lot of it's focused on circumcision and like, it's not easy. So I was really happy with both those.
It's been fun having conversations post Galatians and how often grace is coming up.
Yeah.
It's just coming up all the time. I think that idea has really made its way into our community in a really cool way. So I love that. Rochelle, I'll just kick it over to you one last time. I think in the life of children's ministry, people are thinking it's Thursday and Sunday. What beyond those 2 days really was a highlight for you this year in your job?
I mean, I think for me, like VBS is always, it's just always the big one, I think. This year felt so smooth and it's always fun to see like who shows up to serve and in what ways. So that's a big one. Honestly, Thursday nights are my favorite. So you can ask me other things, what else? But Sundays and Thursdays are like the main work that we do with kids. So I think Thursday nights, we have a really solid group of kids and they're there every time. And it's just kind of fun seeing just the relationships that they're building with each other. And they're all so different with different personalities and just dynamics and things. And so to see them kind of becoming family, probably if you threw them in a school setting, they probably wouldn't have all become best friends. Seeing that at church has been really fun as they've kind of grown up. So that's always my favorite.
I love that. Little small family going into the big Coastline family. You also mentioned something about VBS with the volunteers. And I think that as a church at our age, 3 years, we've decided it's impossible to think about the way that this year has gone without thinking of how the way that congregants helped out so much. And so I want to ask all the team, what do you think like the role of the congregant was in 2023? When you think about how somebody comes to Coastline on a Sunday or it's a Tuesday or a life group or whatever, or a community group or whatever, like what do you think the average experience was like in Coastline in 2023? And then maybe we can kick it to the future and say, what do we hope to do for the Coastline congregant experience in 2024?
Well, one thing I would say is that and I was going to answer this way earlier when you asked the question, like what has marked Coastline this year? I feel like, you know, Fully Family is the probably the value that you just hear spoken of the most at Coastline. And I think it's one that just resonates with us as a people. And yet I think of Easter in the Park. I think of the market with Nikki. I think of Kites on the Coast. I think of just all these events that we do that are so outward focused and really trying to draw people into Coastline and help other people become the part of the family. And I feel like, so I went to a Christmas party with a few couples at the church at the beginning of this month. And I don't know, I just walked out of that feeling like, man, I feel so seen. I feel like these are people are my friends. I feel like I'm part of their family. And I kept thinking, I think our people are starting to love one another beyond just like one another.
Nice.
Like, I feel like we are becoming family. A spiritual family for one another. And that I think is something I hope to just see continue to grow into the next year.
Yeah, I would love that as well. I think one of the pastors I interviewed for the series coming up is they said that their church is 16 years old and it really feels like an adolescent church. Like they're going through growing pains and they're going through kind of the adolescent questions. And with us being as young as we are, it's easy to be like, we're not where we should be yet. We're not, you know, this type of loving church, this type of worshiping church. But to think about like, it's only year three. And if our people are going from like to love this soon, I mean, the sky's the limit for Coastline. And it's really cool to hear you say that, Michael. It's really cool also that I didn't get invited to that Christmas party. So I'll just keep on going here. What do you think about your own personal life in 2023? What were some of the personal highlights for you? What were some of the things that happened, not professionally, not at Coastline, that really you'll look back on this year and say that was what made 2023 the year that it was?
Football for my family, right? Yeah. So obviously my kids play football. I've talked about it a lot, but this was the year where they went from being a very bad football team to a very good football team.
Championship football
and,
team.
Yeah, winning CIF. And winning CIF with both my boys on the field was crazy, with Colin and Chappie. And then also just the going to so many games and having so many friends and family in the stands with us. It was just a really sweet time. Like, just an incredible run, an incredible experience. Feel super blessed by the Lord that all that came together.
Love that. Yeah. Some of those games were real fun. Some of them were heartbreakers.
Not many heartbreakers, though. But those when you win a CIF championship, man.
But then the
a
next,
lot of good games.
Then the next one's a heartbreaker. What about some other folks?
I mean, my daughter got engaged.
That's I was waiting for that one.
Big deal.
So good. Home.
Way to go, Alicia.
You know, it's something. Reed. It feels very surreal and exciting all at the same time. And I mean, it's hard to talk about without tearing up, because I think it's something that you pray for years. It's something that you hope that she will be a part of a bigger family and a group of people that this gets really personal, but having cancer when she was 10, you're always worried, will she be taken care of? Mm. Right. So her getting engaged is me feeling like, oh, she's going to be okay. Right. If anything happened to me, she's Nikki. Got people. So that's, yeah, sorry.
And you're crying because you think Reed's going to take care of her?
And we're back up for air. Okay.
No, that's sweet. That is a huge, hugely great thing. And it's fun, you know, both Reed and Alicia being involved at Coastline, being able to watch them kind of feel like one of the first couples in the church to get married and have that as part of their story. It's really funny to think that 2023 will be the year of the engagement and 2024 will be the year of the wedding. And I'm really excited to get talking next December, how it was. Stressful.
We'll hash out what worked and what
didn't. I grabbed three extra jobs this summer. Like, it's a whole thing. But yeah, that's really, really exciting. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
I think if I could look back at myself at the beginning of the year and say, hey, Michael, Mylan's going to be a Broadway star. That would have saved me some stress. I think so Mylan had this show that she did a few weeks ago where she was young Anna in Frozen. And we were on our way driving there, and I turned to Caitlin. I'm like, am I supposed to feel this nervous right now? And she's like, I think that's normal. But I was just like, it's not that I thought she would do poorly, because Mylan's Mylan and she's exciting and fun and that's who she is. But it's just like, I'm always on a stage and I can control that. That's like, for me, I get to control that, but I can't control how she does.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen in front of all these people. And she just nailed it. She just did so good. Some of you were there and it was awesome. So I think I never imagined that Mylan would do that this year. And with her own little gusto, she did it. So
it was awesome. It was so good. Yeah. She was so incredible. I mean, this will be the episode that people go back to in 15 years when she's on Broadway, and they'll say, we knew then, we heard it then. Garrick, what about you? Personal victories, personal excitement in the year.
I feel like this year, there's kind of two themes to this year for me. One, finding and enjoying the new hobby of pickleball.
Oh yeah.
Was a huge thing. And it kind of coincides with the other piece. You know, I think I'm in a season of life where I've not only got my career going on, but kind of supporting my wife in her career is a big part of what's taking place in my kind of personal life, as far as taking over some, and I think I've spoken about this before, mm-hmm. but taking over some responsibility so that she's freed up to do all that she's doing, I think is a big piece. So.
And also Emery going off to college.
Yes.
Was that sad? That's not on your happy list.
No, that's not on the happy list. She's home right now for Christmas, which is exciting.
She's literally
actually
working
my whole family.
Right now.
She's down below us working. Yeah. And my whole family's home, which is really, really fun. So it was definitely a big year of adjustment, learning how to go from two kids in the home with one in college to Emery being off to college and only having one kid at home.
Yeah.
So there's a huge adjustment there. And I think we navigated it that first quarter, and she did really well, which I think is always a parent's hope.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, it was a good year. I think personally, I've told my wife, like, we've got to figure out, now that our kids are getting older, Janine and I have to figure out a hobby together. So, because I can't just pickleball and she just works. We got to do something together.
It's got to be pickleball. You got to get Janine out there.
She's pretty determined that it will never be.
Fastest growing sport in America.
Never, ever. She doesn't do paddle sports.
Oh, that's an interesting hard and fast rule.
Well, it's... If you can help her deviate from it, I'd appreciate that.
You're looking at me like I play paddle sports.
Well, no, I'm just looking for some help.
No
there.
Squash, no racquetball, yeah. No tennis, no badminton. No. She doesn't do any of them.
What if I told you about paddle sports? I don't play them. Pickleball, you are out here. You told a story to us recently that you were like at a city meeting for pickleball.
Yes,
courts.
I was.
Pickleball reconciliation.
Your advocacy is so funny. You're just like out here like, I will fight the good fight.
These pickleball players are a public nuisance.
Does that cause relational strife between you and Janine that she won't play paddle sports, but you're out here protesting for them?
I think she could care less. So no. No, she could care less.
Oh, Garrick's going to one of his meetings again.
Yeah.
I will continue to contribute positively to society while he is.
Yeah.
Let me play pickleball after 8 p.m.
Hey, it is a great sport and a great way to hang out and meet new people. It's a great community.
We should do a bonus episode where you explain the rules of pickleball to people.
I don't think people would find that exciting.
That's why it's a bonus episode.
Oh, okay.
That's where we relegate the non-exciting ones.
But Rochelle, they think that pickleball is too loud. And so the neighbors are protesting the pickleball players and the cops are there meeting and Garrick's there attending because he's a part of the gang.
I'm part of the gang, part of the crew. They're just trying to figure out how do they take the animosity out between the players and the neighbors.
All these 70-year-olds
out there. Here's the deal. Let me speak to all of our friends who own homes next to parks in Torrance. You're used to like 15 or 20 years of silence. Like, people hardly use the tennis court. It doesn't bring that much noise. But people are now actually utilizing the park and getting to know each other, and it makes people upset.
So you're saying that. So what I hear you saying is
we need to move on from
homeowners,
this, please.
Homeowners are anti-friendship is what I just heard you say.
What did you say?
You said homeowners are anti-friendship.
Exactly. Okay. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I hear you.
A plus B equals C.
Yeah. There's somebody listening right now who's like, Garrick is a kook, and someone listening like, finally somebody said it.
Dude, finally
somebody said it.
Pickleball is just a means to new friends.
And that's all, that's the Garrick hanger story, which there I love. I love that it's pickleball and it's something that we can joke about, but the essence and the reason that you do it is it's really important to you. And I think that's special. And I am jealous because I don't have anything like that in my life where I could just like go hang out with people and use paddle sports as a reason to.
You could pick up badminton.
Does anybody know if Janine will join me if I want to play badminton? Rochelle, what about you? What was the personal highlight this year?
I think that I set out this year to be a little bit more adventurous. So one of the things that I wanted to get a little bit more comfortable going and doing things solo. I don't know, because it's hard. It's hard to do things because you want to go experience things with other people. And sometimes I just get myself in a rut where I'm like, oh, nobody wants to go do that.
And
so
then
I just don't.
Huge this
so
year.
I decided this past summer that I was going to go on a solo trip to Greece.
Crazy.
So I did it.
How was
and
it?
And I made so many new friends. And now I have a friend in Spain. I have a friend who lives in Greece. I have a friend who lives in New York, Australia. So I met a bunch of new people. And it was one of the best 10 days of my life. So I really enjoyed myself. So I think if I had stayed in my head about it, I wouldn't have gotten to experience that. So I feel like it kind of tapped something in me that is like, okay, go travel and do more things.
That's awesome.
So I'm planning 2024 to try to be more adventurous and trying to move things around so that I kind of have that built into my life a little bit more.
Well, guys, I'm on a big game kick lately, and I thought it would be fun, before we talk about our favorite things that we watched or experienced this year in terms of like media and pop culture, I want to see how you know, dialed into the world at large you guys are. So I have some trivia questions here about popular things and popular ideas in the year of 2023, the year of our Lord. So I'm gonna just gonna throw out some questions, and I think trivia, I think we can make this interesting. So I'm trying to figure out, Nikki, how would we, like, if this was a youth group game, how would we get people to buzz in for the answer? Hit the mic really hard so the listener turns it off immediately. Sorry, take a bite of a tortilla chip as loud as you can, and that's you buzzing in. Is it maybe say your name?
Or is it pickleball?
Oh, there you go.
Pickleball.
Pickleball.
You say pickleball. Yeah. That's okay. Perfect. Okay, yeah. So great. I'm going to ask.
Racket sport.
No. Let's not get. I don't want Janine to turn it off. So we'll keep it. We'll keep it pickleball, and you say pickleball, and then you answer the question. And so we'll start with an easy one. What was highest grossing movie of 2023?
Pickleball. Barbie.
It was Barbie. How much money do you think Barbie made this year?
$200 million. Am I wrong?
So wrong. Couldn't have been more wrong. Anybody want to take a guess on how much money Barbie made this year?
$1 billion.
$1.4
billion. Oh, I was way off.
Yeah.
Wow. Anybody want to take a stab at what they think? This is not for points. Rochelle's in the lead. Anybody want to take a stab at movie number two?
Pickleball. Eras Tour.
No.
No?
Pickleball.
Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer.
It was not Oppenheimer.
What?
No. You don't have to say pickleball at this point. This is just, we're just trying to see if people can do it.
Pickleball.
Okay.
Flowers of the Lotus Moon.
Yep, Flowers of the Lotus Moon, a movie that totally exists and is real. No. Were you talking about Killers of the Flower Moon and White Lotus together as a film?
I know, I was like, what is that?
That somehow made upwards of $1 billion. Wow. Wow.
Like Trolls?
Nope. Closer.
Trolls. Gosh, is closer. I hope not.
Trolls is closer.
Oh,
well,
man.
I'm wondering if it's a kid's movie.
It is a kid's movie.
Oh. What was a kid's movie that came out this year?
Michael?
Super Mario?
Super Mario Brothers, that's correct. Yeah, $1.3 billion. Wow. Oppenheimer coming up with third at $950 million. Number four, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 with $845. And then a pretty significant drop to number five is Fast X.
Oh.
The 10th Fast and the Furious film, $704 million. Where was the most tweeted or X'd or whatever TV show of 2023?
Pickleball.
Yes.
Friends.
No.
Oh,
Rochelle,
good guess.
Because you'd be back to zero, but you still have 1 point. You're still in the lead.
Well, that was a good guess.
It was a good guess, except it's not even in the top 50.
Oh, okay.
It was a good guess in the sense that Matthew Perry perished and it's horrible, but.
So the question again.
Most tweeted, most talked about show on social media this year.
Whoa. Pickleball.
Yes.
Succession.
No. Good guess, but no.
That's what I was going to guess.
I don't like watch a lot of shows. I don't know.
Murders.
No, Pickleball, The Last of Us.
Oh, I was going to say that.
The Last of Us really came out of the gate. And number two, really close second, was Wednesday.
I'm going to watch that
one. Sure.
So yeah. Pickleball, oh. Pickleball Wednesday. Pickleball, you play pickleball on Wednesdays?
No.
Okay. All right, this is another one. What do you think the most viewed article on Wikipedia was in 2023? It was not pickleball. So don't say pickleball, pickleball.
Pickleball, Taylor Swift.
No. The most viewed Wikipedia page. It's very poignant, very topical.
Obviously, we struggle at general
pickleball, Shohei Ohtani.
No.
The royal family.
No. Pickleball, ChatGPT.
Oh.
Ooh.
I think we'll look back and say this was the year it all started when Skynet is our new pastor and ChatGPT is, this was the first year. The second most viewed Wikipedia page was deaths in 2023. And then I forget that Wikipedia is a global website because the rest of them are all cricket related. The 2023 Wait, Cricket World Cup.
Seriously?
The Cricket World Cup, the Indian Premier League, and then Oppenheimer the film and then Oppenheimer the person.
How does Janine feel about cricket?
Yeah.
Is Gene,
let's get her on the horn.
Is that a paddle sport? It's kind of a paddle sport.
Well, it has the same issues of all the other paddle sports of why she would not play it.
I definitely did Wikipedia Oppenheimer. Yeah. I was one of those.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm definitely in that as well. Speaking of searching, who was the most searched person in 2023?
Pickleball, Travis Kelce.
No, that's a really good guess. He's number three. That was, I'm shocked that you didn't say Taylor Swift and you really.
Pickleball, Taylor Swift.
Nope, not even the top five. I think people know her. I think people don't need to get more information, but Travis Kelce is a really good guess. He's number three. It is another athlete.
Messi?
No, that's a good guess too.
Because he came.
What sport?
Football.
Mahomes.
No. This is United States, so it's not going to be Messi, but that was a good guess.
Who's in trouble? Is there anybody in trouble?
Well, that's actually a good way to frame it, because pickleball, it's Damar Hamlin. Now, Nikki, yeah. Nikki, who is Damar Hamlin?
Never even heard that.
Sean, that's why you got to Google him.
Sean, who is Damar Hamlin?
Safety of the Buffalo Bills, had a heart attack on the field because he was hit in just the right way between beats of his heart and went down.
On January 1st.
Okay. Yeah. No, he lived, but they resuscitated him. Like, they were doing CPR on the field.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, for a long time.
I've never seen
TV.
Anything
it was
like
insane.
It. Number two, Jeremy Renner. That's rude.
What? Ran himself over with the snowplow.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Broke like every part of his body.
Yeah, insane. Number three, Travis Kelce. Number four, Tucker Carlson. And number five is Lil Tay. Sean, who's Lil Tay?
I thought that was Tucker Carlson. That's not.
That was good.
Pickleball, is it Tucker Carlson?
Lil Tay is a 16-year-old internet personality who faked her own death in August.
But she didn't die.
Alive and well. She actually put an album out about it in September.
Wow.
And you can find that on Spotify, where you find all your listening things, just like this podcast. Last question is, what was the most Googled question in the year 2023?
When will the singularity happen?
Pickleball.
Thank you, Rochelle.
Yeah.
Will AI take my job?
No.
Oh.
That's a good one, too. Man.
Anybody want to take another guess at it for all the marbles? I had a tiebreaker on here. You guys didn't even need a tiebreaker. Pickleball?
Did we even get one?
Rochelle got one. Rochelle got Barbie. All right. Pickleball, how often do you think of the Roman Empire?
Oh, I was just going
to. Oh, dang it.
I was just going to say that.
Do you not know that, Garrick?
No.
Wow.
It was a whole thing for a solid month where women were just filming their husbands or dads or the men in their lives asking them, how often do you think about the Roman Empire? And the funniest part is that a lot of men kept saying, once a week, at least twice a week, at least like very often. So then it became a joke of, what's your Roman Empire? What's the thing that you think about all the time?
Now, in our line of work, we actually think about the Roman Empire a lot because it's incredibly relevant.
Yeah.
But apparently a lot of people are passionate about it too. It has nothing to do with the first century church.
And now, well, this will transition me into my next question for you guys is, we think about movies, music, TV shows. Let's think about that as your Roman Empire. When you think back to 2023, what will your Roman Empire of the year have been? And that Roman Empire being something you watched or experienced, something that you read or went to.
Pickleball.
No, I'm done. Just tell me. Unless the answer is pickleball, then I want to hear about it. But no, I'm done pickleball.
Pickleball, the Eras Tour.
Yeah.
The Eras Tour was a highlight.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
I consider that to be one of the best.
A touchstone of my life.
Yeah, it was huge. Great answer, Sean. Thank you. Anybody else? My gosh. Did you guys just wake up from a coma? Like, why is, I guess, like we all had a year. We all did stuff. What was that stuff that you did this year? What's one thing that you'll look back and say, 2023 was the year that I watched that the first time, or I listened to that, or I read that, or I experienced that?
I just don't have anything like relevant. For me, it was the year of the murder mystery.
Great.
But none of them are really current murder mysteries.
That's fine.
I just read a lot of murder mysteries this year. I didn't binge watch television.
What was your favorite one you read? What was your favorite one you read?
I started reading... gets nerdy, but if you are like a BBC person, Shetland is one of my favorite murder mystery television shows. Started reading the books. So, and they're great. So really great.
All right, Nikki, thank you for answering the question.
Yeah.
You three, what is it?
Two things. I became a Swiftie this year.
Yes.
And the other thing was Janine and I started watching Suits.
Suits.
So don't you love it when you come into like a TV show that everybody's been watching for years? And then you're just like late to the party, but then you discover it and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so good. Yeah. And B, there's a bazillion seasons. So
yeah,
Suits is awesome.
The Suits of it all this year got really crazy. People were super into Suits. Michael, what about you?
All right. So about two taco Sundays ago.
Four taco Sundays ago.
That's a great way to frame.
I think it was two taco Sundays ago. Hunter walks up to me and he goes, hey, have you seen this song? It's called Sitting is the Opposite of Standing.
Ugh.
And I was like, no, I don't have social media. And he showed it to me. And my daughter was standing right there. That was the mistake. Because now, Sitting is the Opposite of Standing is playing in my house every day.
It is such a good song.
And my
song.
Daughter is screaming. Both my daughters are screaming. Actually, my son as well. They are all screaming this song at the top of their lungs. So,
is it a kid song?
No.
I mean, it's not a kid's song.
It's just a song. It's one of those, like, someone had sang this song randomly on TikTok or whatever, and then it gets like you know, beatified, you know, it becomes like a thing.
Yeah.
And then it just goes. So
it slaps so hard.
It's actually it's an earworm.
And there's like Broadway covers of it and acoustic covers and like an orchestral cover. Like
and,
people
and
went,
saxophone covers yeah. and whatever.
And the lyrics are insane.
So that was, there's that, but that's not something I liked. Something I liked was, this is going to be the most nerdy thing I said today, but I read my first like true fantasy book this year. So there's an author named Brandon Sanderson.
Yes.
Who he had the largest Kickstarter of all time last year. And he's a fantasy writer. And so I read his Mistborn book. I'm starting to read his Mistborn trilogy, but I read the first book. It's incredible. It's so good. I know, Sean, your heart is beating with me right here as a fellow fantasy nerd.
I read I read all 9 of the Mistborn books. Oh. Really good. People who do the magic system in Mistborn is amazing. They drink metal and then they metabolize it. And the drinking of metal metabolizes their magic powers.
It's epic.
There's that HBO, there's the HBO documentary Mother God about... the woman who drinks colloidal silver and it turned her blue and she died. So yeah. maybe there's a little bit of overlap there.
It's that. His magic systems are great.
Yeah.
All that to say, Mistborn's actually a really old book, so many of you have probably read it, all of you fantasy people. But I read it for the first time this year and it was great.
Well, that's a good recommendation. I love that. Rochelle, what about you?
I guess the thing that I think about a lot very often.
Roman Empire.
Your Roman Empire is Greek salad.
Really? Are you serious?
Yeah. Huh. And then I think about how I can't actually make it taste as good here. Mm, and then I get sad.
Yeah.
But I think about it often.
That's good. That's a good answer.
Hold on. If we're going to talk about food, can we at least just give a shout out to Tigres Fuego? Because this has been my year of consuming the most tacos of any year ever because of that.
Shout them out.
Shout out.
They're big fans.
Shout out Fuego.
Shout out to Fuego.
You guys are delicious.
That's title of ep if I've ever heard one.
What about for you, Hunter?
I ate a lot of Tigres Fuego. Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Is that your Roman Empire?
Oh, no. I thought he was asking about Tigres Fuego. I told this to somebody recently. I only have Roman Empires. Everything is an obsession for me. So, I mean, you catch me on a particular day, that's my Roman Empire of the year. And it's all
What was the best of the best, though, for this year?
The best of the best of this year was the Coastline Covenant podcast. We hit our stride. We got a lot of downloads, got a lot of listens. So thanks to all the listeners. And I want to close with one last question for everybody around the table. What is your hope for Coastline Covenant Church in the year 2024? This time next year, when we are sitting around this very table recording another podcast, what do you hope Coastline Covenant Church has experienced? What do you hope it's gone through? Who do you hope that we are as a worshiping body in this upcoming year?
I think when I think about the devotionals and all of the congregants that have been kind of participating in the creation of that, that to me feels like the direction I want us to grow into, in where we are a church that's not just staff being the ones who are driving the spiritual growth, but that we would be a community that everyone is contributing and participating and encouraging each other and like spiritually providing wisdom and discernment, using their gifts to build the church. It does take all of us. And so when I like think about that specifically, that's who I want us to be moving forward.
It's a phenomenal answer. That's really, really good. And I hope the same thing.
Well, that we create a leadership team that has a culture that people really enjoy being a part of. That it's not something that taxes you or exhausts you, but it gives you something really great as you serve the highest levels here.
It's another really good thought.
I'm incredibly excited for our Lenten series that we've been writing. Garrick, Nikki, and I have been working on that, and it speaks directly to my heart because it's going to be a spiritual formation series. And so I'm just excited to dive into that topic as a church and to learn more about it and to be really intentional about what our growth in the Lord looks like. And so I'm going to be gone for half of it on sabbatical, which I'm sad about, but I'll be here for the back half. So I'm just really excited for us to take more steps in that direction and for us as a church to take our spiritual growth even that much more seriously. So
yeah, it's one of our core values. So let's keep leaning in. Yeah, it's a good answer. We'll miss you. We'll miss you.
I'll miss you too.
You're like the deist God of the
He's coming
series.
Back.
Just spins the top and then walks away.
What are you saying?
You know deism, the belief deism that God created the earth and abandoned it?
Michael's, that's who you are, Michael. To
he's
us.
The D. No, he's the deist.
Hunter, apparently.
No, let's do I this said, series. See you later, guys.
I literally said he's the deist god of this series. He created the series. He's going to be gone for half the time. It's not my fault. You guys don't know what deism is. It's not my fault. You guys aren't listening. It's not my fault that Michael's going on sabbatical. I have about an hour of chill in me, and we've hit it. So I'm ready to get going. Nikki, what's your hope for the church?
I same as Rochelle shared, and she said it a lot better than I could, but I feel like every believer has more to offer than just being grunt labor, right? Like they can offer something spiritual to the community as well. And so I want to find ways for that to happen.
That's beautiful. I love that. That's a good one. And finally, Pastor Garrick, your hope for Coastline.
My hope would be a combination of what's already been said. I agree that I think continuing to empower our congregation for participation in their faith and in ministry is a big key for 2024. I always want to see us growing our ability to welcome and bring in new people, new to the faith, but also just how do we help people who are here, who Coastline doesn't feel like family yet, for them to know they're not alone, and yet how do we help them feel like they are part of it. Yeah. So that's a big piece. And then just wanting people to, my hope is always that our people really experience Christ and know how to walk with him and experience him throughout the year and then let everything they do kind of flow out of that. So those would be my kind of hopes. And I don't know, I have a lot to say, but can I finish with one final thought?
I would love that.
Something that I love about 2023 that I think was I think we're narrowing in on something that happened, I think, in 2022. Some of our best ministry moments that we're finding that become kind of the Coastline way, or things that get repeated, events that get repeated, in my mind are things that I would use the language of, we stumbled into by the power of the Holy Spirit. So some of these things that have been so phenomenal that we've mentioned on this podcast, we're like, oh, we were trying to do this and it didn't work, so we ended up doing that. And then that turned out to be fantastic. And so I'm kind of excited to see in 2024, as we still kind of have an open slate and still building things and growing things, how is the Spirit going to lead us into things we're not doing yet that turn out to be like, oh my gosh, this is a really cool thing.
That's a great ending point. And I think that's a great question for people to ponder as they head into the new year holidays. Thank you for listening, everybody. Again, I said it, I think this was a banner year for the podcast, and we have a lot of fun stuff planned for the next year. But until then, Sean.
We'll see you next year and every year after that.
You did it.
Hey, that was really good, Sean.
You did it. Wow.